showtime, folks!
This is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, and I will send a bit for someone else.
Welcome into Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, I'm your host, Will Stevens. Tucker Holt on his way, I believe, running a little bit late. Traffic might be bad today. I'm wearing a rain jacket. I was prepared for some water droplets, so perhaps some traffic out there. So we have Sam on the second mic, co-host chair today, and Folky classically running the board as always while we wait for Tucker to get in here. Fellas, how we doing today on this glorious victory Monday if you're a Titans fan?
Feeling good, man.
It feels good, doesn't it?
That was nice. Just NFL was so great. Tennessee was rough, and I'm sure we'll get to that.
We won't talk about
that. But I went numb, and when the Titans were down 21-10, I almost went numb again. But then I stayed alive, and now they pulled it out. So I'm in a pretty good mood today.
That's good. I'm glad. Folky, victory Monday for your Brownies. Victory Monday for your Ohio State Buckeyes in a near scare against Indiana. Obviously, we'll get to that when we talk about college football because, I mean, I believe I was the only one who said that Indiana was going to cover, so I pat myself on the back right there. But how are you doing today on this victory Monday?
I'm doing good. Victory Monday for both teams, which is definitely
2-for-2, man. That feels weird.
Not used to being 2-for-2, especially wearing a Browns jersey. But
this is the first time y'all beat the Eagles this weekend.
Yeah,
since Bill Belichick,
my lifetime. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Bill Belichick was our head coach, and I want to say Saban was one of the coordinators.
I believe that's right. I mean, like, that's just crazy to think about that they have. First off, they hadn't beaten the Eagles in the whole entire span of the Alabama dynasty. But
so that's
then,
not even like an at home on the road thing. It's just straight up.
And never, because they don't obviously. Well, yeah, it's hard conferences to schedule them, so it's every 4 or 5 years, every now and then, but. I mean, you just couldn't beat them. You would get them at the bad times. You'd get them when Donovan McNabb was perfect, and then you would get them when right before Vic's big case, and you got them right as Wentz was coming into form, and then when Foles was taking over, like, you got them at bad times, I feel like. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that felt good.
Oh, yeah. The biggest stat line in this game was Myles Garrett was out, but we still sacked Carson Wentz 5 times, even without Myles Garrett.
I don't know. Credit where credit's due. Like, that's 5 sacks is good, but I don't know if that's more on how bad that Eagles team is, how bad Carson Wentz is at avoiding sacks and just eating them so often, and obviously how much that is to the credit of the Browns defensive line. I mean, I'm sure that's impressive, especially with missing your number one guy, but at the same time, like, if we're talking about the NFC beast, wow. I mean, we are here week 11, I believe, is what we just finished.
Yeah.
Week 11.
Yeah.
The Eagles still in first place,
oh, yeah.
But every team has 3 wins. Me and Folky were going over the stats of the NFC Beast. It's 3-6-1 for the Eagles in first place. That one tie is really carrying them. And then it's 3-7, 3-7, and 3-7 all the way throughout the bottom. The only conference with every single team in the negative for point differential, the lowest margin of point differential. Anyone want to take a guess at even which team has the lowest margin of point differential this
year? Minus 38.
Jets.
Jets are not in the NFC East.
What was the question?
Out of the NFC East, which team has
NFC East? Sorry.
We talked about this, but no. It's the Washington football team with minus 27. The Giants are in second with minus 34. The Eagles are in third with minus 41, I want to say. And then it goes to the Cowboys who are at minus 80. Just terrible football. I mean, they're the only conference with zero. There's only one other conference that doesn't have at least 2 teams in the plus minus column being in the plus.
Right.
That one conference is the NFC North. The Packers are the only team out of there. And the Bears and Lions both – or the Bears and the Vikings both have single-digit minuses. Like, they're still right on the cusp of having a good plus minus. But, yeah, the NFC East – the NFC at a whole is – It's bad, but it's still going to be interesting. I'm
pretty excited about the NFC East. I mean, exactly. It's kind of the most competitive division.
Oh,
of
it
football.
Most definitely is. It's like how we were. Amazing. I don't know if y'all have the games where you like this game sucks, but it's still going to be a good football game. First off, RIP to Joey B's knee. He tore his MCL, ACL, and some other structural damage. So it looks like it's going to be a long time. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he can come back being the same player that he was kind of hyped to be and still be the number one overall pick. It doesn't get him a step slow. Obviously, not being a mobile quarterback, it's going to help him a little bit. But when you look at that game, like you looked at the Bengals and the Redskins, or football team, like you don't think that's a good football game, but like it's still going to be a close football game. You're still like, if you wanted to watch that football game, it would still be enjoyable to watch, even if it is 2-7 teams going into that game.
Right.
But
I've always thought about, like, would you rather watch amazing talent, but one team blows the other team out? Or like, it's basically, would you rather watch like Alabama versus Kentucky or like a really competitive action game? It's like,
yeah, Buffalo, Bowling Green, or Alabama, Kentucky is a perfect example.
Yeah, that's, and the NFC East is the action. And it's like, I mean, dang it, this is interesting, but it's
They should be forced to play
stupid,
on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. They shouldn't get the same grace. Like, you know, you have the kids table. Thanksgiving's coming up. You have the kids table and the adults table. Push them to Tuesday and Wednesday night football. Let the big boys play on Thursday, Monday, and Sundays.
I'd watch it.
You would still get viewers. Like the NFL would dominate no matter who is going up against them on a random night of football.
Yeah.
Just because like the storylines would be insane. It would be the only NFL game on that night. Maybe they should put us in the booking office for games and stuff. Speaking of booking games, if we're just kind of bouncing around football here, did you see the kind of bad thing that happened to BYU? I was trying to figure out how to phrase it. They
I did not.
Put their foot in their own mouth.
Yeah, like what? They're like anytime, any place, anywhere.
Yeah, and then
Washington
declined to play Washington.
Like, what is that?
It was literally like 15 hours. They had tweeted.
What happened?
So the BYU, I believe it was Zach Wilson who was wearing it on a headband or something, but it said anytime, any place, anywhere, basically saying we'll play anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, because again, playoff hype, but they've also only, like, their hardest game has been Army, and that got canceled. So, like, they haven't played a lot of people. And so basically they were saying, name a time, name a place, and we'll show up and we'll beat you. And so they tweeted that out with the picture of Zach Wilson wearing the headband that said that, and they said that tweet verbatim. And after that happened, it came out that University of Washington was trying to book them for a game, and BYU had declined to see where they rank in the college football playoff rankings this weekend to see if they even need to play a big name program. So it was just,
wow.
It was kind of funny to me.
I mean, it's like
the classic cat versus dog.
So weak, but I mean, it's kind
of it makes
smart.
Sense. Yeah, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it would be different if it was Oregon or something, a team that I would be worried about beating us. But like this kind of, if it was Oregon, I feel like it'd be different because you're kind of like, okay, I can understand that team. But like it's Washington. Like I don't know if that, in my opinion, it tells a lot about how BYU thinks about themselves if they don't want to play Washington. You know what I mean? Like it's
but
Washington.
They want in the playoffs.
Or wait, are you saying like? They like Washington isn't worth a win on the resume.
No. I'm just meaning like there is far scarier competition that to decline. Like, if it was Oregon and they declined it and used the excuse of we want to see where we rank, I would be like, okay, sure, that's a good excuse, but it's mainly you don't want to play Oregon.
Right.
From my perspective, it's still the same thing, but now it's Washington, so it makes it even more embarrassing.
Oh,
if it was an Alabama, like they had already declined a game against there was in talks at the beginning of the season to play Alabama. Obviously, SEC went SEC only, and that didn't happen. But like if it was an Alabama level program and they're like, hey, come play us, I would understand BYU using the excuse. It's the same like I'm scared of the dark, so I sleep with a light on, but my excuse is so I can see where I'm going in the middle of the night if I have to use the bathroom. I've never once used the bathroom in the middle of the night. I'm just scared of the dark. Same thing as
you've
this
never done that?
Use the bathroom in the middle of the night? No, I've used the bathroom in the middle of the night. I just don't get up.
I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
I just kind of was like,
whoa. You missed my wet the bed joke, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
There we go.
But it's just one of those blanket excuses, or at least that's what it seems like to me. So I just think it looks even worse that it is Washington who they are declining to play. If it was a big team.
I don't even think they're ranked.
No, Washington sucks. Like,
I think
Oregon and USC, because USC has found a way to win a couple of these games that they've been close in, are the only two Pac-12 schools ranked. But I could even be wrong about USC. But Oregon is really the only, like, I mean, I don't think any. I think we talked about this last week. ad nauseum, but I don't really think any Pac-12 team, because of how short their season is going to be and who they're playing in terms of competition, don't get me wrong, Pac-12 still a Power 5 conference, still impressive to beat anybody on that resume, but at the same time, it's like the level of competition they're going to be beating is not convincible enough to throw a 5-win team into the playoff just because they have no losses.
Right.
But when you're playing the level of competition, like, this past weekend there was only two ranked teams in the Pac-12. Both of them played. Both of them won. USC beats Utah this past weekend. 33-17, that's a convincing win, but they beat both the Arizona schools by 1 point on kind of, not controversial, but dramatic endings in those games, so it's not really a convincing
3-0.
And then Oregon, who's looked good, they played and beat... They beat up on a couple of people, but the number 9 Oregon Ducks only beat UCLA by 3 points. It was 38-35. They beat Washington State 43-29. They beat Stanford 35-14. Like they have some decent wins.
It's hard to trust any of those wins, though.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, even Washington is 2-0, but they beat Oregon State by 6, and then they beat Arizona. They beat Arizona convincingly, 44-27. They got their game against Wazoo, that's Washington State, canceled. And so they really don't have like a much on their resume, but I just think it looks, again, if it's a big team, you're declining. I understand. I'd rather see where we rank before we screw ourselves over by playing a great team. But if you can get a game like Washington, which is kind of a low brow but still a good name win.
Okay, I know this team.
Like they were in the 2016 playoffs. Program. Like that's still – yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that has some name brand value. Oh, yeah, Jake Browning.
Yeah.
Have you heard that name in the past 5 years? No, exactly. Exactly. But like you would understand it. But I just think that if you're being gifted – a game of an opponent like
opponent actually
exactly because you that's and like a game you would not feel like salivate over like okay we could probably beat that team and it still has that name brand like Washington would probably be the perfect team again with that 2016 playoff berth they've had kind of a recent good history but also now having a new coach on their team and a lot of new roster a lot of turnover it would still be a probably an easy win.
It's a good enough team to like for people to think BYU beat Washington
exactly
but when
exactly.
you really crunch the numbers maybe not but.
But it's still that eye-catcher game.
Ridiculous that BYU makes that statement and then doesn't back it up.
Yeah, just more news out of the college football world. Go across some scores that aren't very meaningful before we hit a break. Number 7 in the nation, 8 straight wins now. Cincinnati sneaks by in a close game against UCF. Again, pat myself on the back. I called that game, too. Called UCF cover because I felt like this was a game Cincinnati was going to drop. They didn't drop it. They were able to stay. They were losing close to the end of the game, able to score, forced a bad throw by that UCF quarterback. I believe his last name is Gabriel, who's like leading the nation in passing yards. Able to force him to throw a bad interception. Another game that ended in a bad interception. Another game I called, so I'd just like to pat myself on the back again of the group of five teams that are just really, we're going to struggle this weekend. App State stays within 11 points of Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina was losing by a score going into that fourth quarter, so 2-score win is not really telling the whole story. They were able to capitalize on a couple of turnovers there late, especially one interception that really sealed the deal. Just going through here, Liberty gets handed their first loss, so that kind of prevents the big dramatics that we're going to see on December 5th between the Chanticleers and Liberty. They lose to NC State by 115-14. I did not watch that game, but I think they got another field goal blocked, which is very, very bad knowing that they got a field goal blocked last week that had then be recalled back and everything. But back-to-back field goal blocks is not good. Obviously, there was a bunch of games postponed this past weekend as well, but just looking through here, those are really the games. BYU, speaking of them, they beat Northern Alabama 66-14 this weekend. So anytime, anywhere is, I guess, only talking about BYU's home stadium and anybody is Northern Alabama or someone of that caliber. I mean, when you look at BYU's schedule, it's bad. We've talked about it before, but it's Navy, Troy, Louisiana Tech, University of Texas, San Antonio, Houston, Texas State, Western Kentucky, BSU, which would be Boise State, and then University of Northern Alabama, Boise State. They beat them by a lot, and that would be like that big team on their schedule.
After that loss, they've still kind of bounced back, but they really weren't like the Boise State teams that have been really hyped up with Kellen Moore or some right. players of that caliber before. I don't know, just a bad look on BYU. But Zach Wilson's still in the Heisman race, so that's good to see. Maybe see a non-SEC or non-basically. I mean, we all knew it was going to – I mean, yeah, we knew that the top three teams were probably going to have the top three quarterbacks be in that conversation. I didn't think anybody thought Mac Jones was going to play as well as he did. I mean, I think we could all agree at the beginning of the season Mac Jones was going to have a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns just because of the talent and the amount of stuff he has at his disposal of
his pieces.
Two first-round draft picks at wide receiver, possibly a third in John Mechie, who's kind of rounding out and coming into shape and will probably be a first-round draft pick come next draft, and then Najee Harris in the backfield as a giant distraction as well. But Mac Jones has looked very, very good. Like, he's looked like an actual Heisman-caliber quarterback, not just a Greg McElroy, AJ McCarron game manager. And then you also obviously had Trevor Lawrence, who is falling out a little bit of the race just because of the COVID. And then Justin Fields, who, I mean, will probably still, in my opinion, end up winning it if he continues to play. I mean, he didn't have a good game. We'll talk about that. But a couple of the interceptions weren't his fault. We'll get into the Indiana game when we get back from this break. But, I mean, he might be screwed out of the Heisman, not only with one bad game, but because of how long the Big Ten waited to play. He's not going to have enough games to make up. Again, like, this was my brain assuming he doesn't have a bad game. He did have a bad game against Indiana. Still a lot of yards, but not a very impressive stat line. And having one bad game when you only play possibly of six games, bad? It wasn't good. Two interceptions. I have no idea how many touchdowns. Three picks. Oh, I didn't even know about the
that
third one. Yeah, I mean, it was not. I had turned the game off and then tuned back in when Indiana, when Indiana made it 42-35, I tuned in for that defensive stop they got, which we'll get into, but should have been targeting. We'll get into all of that, some more college football talk, obviously break down the Tennessee-Auburn game as much as we're dreading it. We might as well talk about it a little bit. There's nothing a lot to talk about the game, more about the words that were said afterwards, so we'll get into that and a lot more. Don't go anywhere. Overtime continues on the other side. Welcome back in. Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. This segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, you can use FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free bet option and bet any game you want. And if you win, obviously you'll get to keep your winnings. But if you lose, you'll get all of your money back up to $1,000 in bonus site credit. Seriously, I'm not yanking any strings. I'm not yanking any chains, I should have said. I'm not pulling any strings. I'm not pulling anyone's leg. You can take another shot at the end zone on the house, quite literally. All you have to do is sign up on FanDuel and click that risk-free bet option. With FanDuel Sportsbook, though, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, you'll get your cash in as little as 24 hours. As always, we know that that is just the right thing to do. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up using promo code OVERTIME so they know we sent you. It's FanDuel Sportsbook, and that's promo code OVERTIME. All caps, one word. Must be 21 or older. Present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable. Expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Did that all from memory, just to flex.
I saw that. Wait, dude, did you take Tennessee plus 100 and like
15? I can't bet. Me and Folky.
I mean, it
are
is
too
literally
young.
Free.
Did you take the spread the love event?
Like, it's crazy.
I'm glad you took the spread the love event. I thought about texting you, but I was like, I'm sure Sam's listening.
I mean, plus 100.
Is that what it ended up at?
It was like plus 120 or something.
Jeez. Because I know Vandy's line got up to plus 85. The examples they gave us, we had like the 76ers opened at like a 5-point underdog, and they ended up being at like a plus 58, which like no one gets beat by 58 in the NBA, so that was free money. And then like Indiana, Michigan State basketball, there was a game where Indiana opened at like a 3-point underdog. Ended up, the line was plus 118. Like, obviously, no one gets beat by 100. No one scores 118. Like, that genuinely was free money given out by FanDuel this weekend. I'm glad you took advantage of it. Did you put your maximum $50 down on there?
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. You know how it goes,
I mean,
man.
FanDuel is killing it, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard you talk about some other sports book, but I feel like, obviously off the air, but I feel like we've kind of brought you to, I'm trying to think of a Star Wars, the light side, because I know the dark side is obviously the bad side.
What is the opposite of the
The rebellion? The dark
side? Yeah, the rebellion, I guess. Folk, I feel like you'd know this.
I do not.
It is the right rebellion. Answer, but I don't know if that's like the answer we're looking for.
Mr. Brightside by Oasis, okay. Fire Song.
You're talking about the blue lightsabers?
Sure, those are the Jedis, but... No.
It's the blue and the red. Blue is the good guys.
Nope, that's Bloods and Crips. You're a little off, but you're close. You're in the right spirit. Just a Bed-Eye and a Ked-Eye. Alabama, speaking of blue versus red, Alabama Ooh. And Kentucky played this weekend, and speaking of the red, it was a bloodbath.
Oof.
Yep.
If you, I think we all agreed on Friday Alabama was going to cover. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be a 60-point game. Final score 63-3. Kentucky able to put those 3 points up in the first quarter.
So that game was almost 10-7 at the end of the first quarter. It was a bad snap away.
Oh, from Kentucky leading.
Maybe 6-7, but they should have scored. But
I wasn't watching the game.
It's just crazy how fast Bama scores.
Oh yeah, I mean they put up 21 in the second, 21 in the third, 14 in the fourth to end the ball game. Just domination. I mean, Mac Jones only threw 24 passes. He was 16-24, threw for 2 touchdowns and 230 yards. First time I've seen this, at least name, but also just a new leading rusher for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Instead of Najee Harris, I couldn't control that one, Folky. I'm sorry.
What was that?
I don't know. It was a sneeze and a cough rolled into one. I was two birds, one stone. I had to sneeze and cough, so I just combined them.
Bless you, I guess.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
God bless.
New name on the rushing leader. It's not Najee Harris this week. It was Jace McClellan. 10 carries, 99 yards. And then obviously Devontae Smith, the number one wide receiver. 9 catches, 144 yards, 2 touchdowns, which is a light week. That seems like light statistics.
You said 10 carries for 99 yards?
Yeah.
What was his longest?
I can click and find out real quick.
23.
His longest was 23 yards.
Jace?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I just love knowing every guy on their depth chart at running back was just the coolest guy in the region from wherever they're from. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they have the stupidest names, too. Jace McClellan. If he's not good at football, he's getting bullied. Najee Harris is a dope name. Roydell Williams is a pretty good name. Brian Robinson Jr., he's getting bullied. Those names suck. Those are classic SEC names. Bryce Young, the quarterback, backup quarterback. If he wasn't a backup quarterback, Bryce Young is an easily bullyable name.
Yeah. I think he's the next coming, though.
I certainly hope not. I've heard he's supposed to be insane, though.
Yeah, I think he's the second guy behind DJ Ukulele or whatever.
DJ Ukulele?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
Florida beat Vanderbilt this past weekend. Oh, shoot. Kind of some breaking news going with Vandy. I have Tucker's sending this into the group chat. Hold on. I'm trying to verify real quick. I apologize.
So Florida Vandy.
Hold on. Okay, now I think
Trask
we can.
Trask is amazing.
I think we can talk about this. I think I clicked on a couple of people's profiles and they seem decently. So we won't get in trouble. I'll blame Robert Weinstein. Bad last name, Robbie Weinstein. Oh, bad time to be him. Vanderbilt announces the Tennessee game has been postponed. Doors will face Mizzou instead. Now this is just some breaking news. I mean, Tucker sends this in and says, "Has y'all hit this yet?" As it's been 6 minutes ago, as in we were waiting on this news to break. But
did they just deem the Tennessee game irrelevant?
Breaking. This is from Vandy Hustler Sports. Breaking: Vanderbilt's home football game against Tennessee is postponed, according to Robbie Weinstein. Who Robbie Weinstein apparently writes for Vanderbilt. Oh, that job must suck too. Worse than the last name for 247 Sports. Mm. I'm trying to find some more information. Yep, Trey Wallace, our very own Trey Wallace, 5 minutes ago tweets out Tennessee versus Vanderbilt has been postponed per the SEC. So
are they going to fit that game in
the 19th? I guess is going to be the new week because there's been so many games tentatively postponed, but we still have the A&M game to make up. Luckily, we haven't had that many postponements, right. But I didn't mean for that to be the segue from into Florida Vanderbilt, but as soon as I clicked my phone open, it was kind
good
of
timing.
Just that's how it goes. But yeah, according to sources, according to Trey Wallace, according to the SEC, according to Mr. Weinstein himself, the Vandy-Tennessee game has been postponed. Not sure about the playing Mizzou part, but Tennessee-Vandy has been postponed.
It's kind of... I don't know how I feel about
that. I like not having to end our season in Florida. Like, that's going to be nice, not having
to
end...
Well, A&M was after, right?
Yeah, but like now...
So
but,
it was double.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I mean, that's kind of was my take beforehand. It's like, yeah, at least we don't have to end on Florida. Now, at least we might end with a little bit of good taste in our mouth.
Oh, right. Okay.
December, yeah, if they're going in order of postponements, they'll play A&M before they play the Vandy game, hopefully.
Yeah, like the last thing recruits will see is a win.
Hopefully. Hopefully. I mean,
yeah.
That brings us into
this,
though.
It's a bit of a gamble here.
I mean, that brings us into this, though, because Vandy only lost 38-17. I mean, and it was 31-17, and they were not able to get it done at the very end. But Ken Sills still threw for 319 yards and two touchdowns.
That guy's pretty good.
Unfortunately, yeah, very.
Yeah.
He looks like he's pretty talented.
Dude, Kyle Trask really might be the best player in the country.
I forgot to mention him during the Heisman talk, but he's definitely probably up there. This is also another source, Jimmy Himes. Tennessee, obviously, Vanderbilt game has been postponed. UT will have open dates this next week. UT Florida will play December 5th. UT Vandy December 12th. UT Texas A&M December 19th. So it will be Vandy or Florida, then Vandy, then A&M.
Oh, okay, so A&M's backed up now. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's A&M, the last game of the season. That's going to be a thumping, but.
Hopefully not,
I don't know.
But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, with this season, it's kind of, I don't want to say a wash, but it's a wash. Like, we can all agree.
Oh, it's a wash.
That this season. it's definitely not good. It's definitely not good. I'll agree with that take for sure.
We'll just not claim it and just call it a wash.
Sure, sure. But Vandy, able to get the cover there, still winless so far. Really, I'm guessing they're going to be hoping that this Tennessee game doesn't get permanently postponed, because really, you play... as of right now, as it lists on the schedule, obviously we know the game is postponed, but the remaining schedule before the postponement of the Vandy game reads for Vanderbilt, Tennessee, then Georgia, then Missouri. Really circling, Tennessee is that one win. I don't think Vandy is hoping to beat Georgia, and maybe they'll hope for a close game against Missouri, but even then I feel like Vandy fans have realistic expectations. All five of them do, and so they'll be able to rein their optimism in. But, I mean, even Missouri able to get a touchdown win over South Carolina. I believe that was Tucker's lock of the week. I know my lock of the week was bad as well, but mine was much worse than anybody else's. We'll talk about that. But Tucker's lock of the week does not hit. Missouri does get the dub over South Carolina 17-10. Bazelak throws for 203 yards and a touchdown. Not a lot going on this game. It was a pretty boring game. Only 10 points scored in the second half, all by South Carolina. They just could not get that last touchdown. Excuse me. But yeah, I mean, if we're talking locks of the week, Tucker's did not hit. Mine was even worse. My lock of the week was Kansas State money line over Iowa State.
What's so out there?
I only take underdogs, and I only take big underdogs. It kind of goes with bad. I'm going to talk about it, Folky. Just let me finish my statement. It kind of has not worked out for me. Like, a couple of them have worked out. Lafayette, University of Louisiana, Lafayette won me a couple of. I guess street cred points. Oh, yeah, it's a definitely tough lifestyle. I had to eat the hot chip because of the Bengals game that I picked, and that one didn't work out for me.
Took you out of commission.
Yeah, it really killed me. Like, I think it gave me a sinus infection, which is what I'm still battling with. But
you're being a trooper.
This lock of the week was probably my worst one. Iowa State ends up beating Kansas State 45-0. I would have been fine with losing if it was like a 17-10 game. But my lock of the week got beat 45-0.
I mean, like, your lock of the week. 45-0.
Yeah.
I don't even know what
it's. It probably is a good thing that I'm not allowed that I'm not old enough to bet on games.
Oh yeah, I mean, we all shuffle. You know, like, I always lose.
I would just be using I would be smart enough to only use the risk free bet option, and obviously only use the free money aspects of those boosts and stuff. Maybe throw a couple same game parlays around. You know how it goes on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You know we get crazy.
Well, they're good at what they do, man.
They are, and they do it the right way. Wow, we were able to turn that from my terrible lock of the week into an ad. So at least there's some money in my pocket. We'll be right back. Play some trivia afterwards. I'm going to find some questions. Sam and Folky will play. They'll battle it out. They're
you ready, Folk?
They're two of the worst brains at Fandom Radio, so it'll be enjoyable.
Oh my gosh.
We'll see y'all. Be right back. Welcome back in. It's time for trivia. Trivia is sponsored by White Claw Hard Seltzer. It's where we are. We're in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. They're crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol. I sound like I've had a few myself there. Seltzer water, 5% alcohol, hint of fruit flavor, only 100 calories. Now available in 8 refreshing flavors, including fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, juicy lemon. Sam, you're the only one old enough here to partake in legal White Claw drinking. What's your favorite flavor? I know Tucker's a big black cherry guy.
It's lemon.
Lemon, really? You're big.
It's the second chapter of White Claw packages, and it's pretty good.
Okay.
Chapter. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I do not. Like, I've never opened
a
White Claw box.
First one was like black cherry. I'm blanking on them. But then they came out with 4 new flavors, and they're like together.
Oh, they came out with their second variety pack. I know what you're talking about. The second edition. I thought you meant it was like the second chapter, as in like you had to get past the first 4 rows of straight black cherry or something like that, which I'm sure is not a challenging task because they are only 100 calories.
And they're delightful.
I'm sure they are. My mom says the same thing. Each one of the Wave of Pure Refreshment White Claw Hard Seltzer made pure. Please drink responsibly. All right. Got some recent NFL trivia, because I was yelled at about my trivia questions being too dated and too wordy. So we have recent NFL trivia. If you don't like the questions, I'm sorry, Folky. I'm sorry, Sam. I'm bending over and touching my heels right now.
We'll just play to the level of the competition.
Yeah.
It's either going to be expert or like medium, probably.
Fair enough. Let's get right into it.
All right.
Which player won the most FedEx Air QB of the Week awards during the 2011 NFL season? I believe he also won the MVP this season.
Peyton Manning.
Incorrect. This is actually like, I know it sounds like a kind of a stretch. This was a big stat going into the playoffs this year that he had this many FedEx Air QBs.
Is he still in the league?
He is.
Hmm.
He is still with the same team.
Russell Wilson.
It is not Russell Wilson.
Drew Brees.
Is it not Drew Brees?
Good answer.
Maybe if you're thinking of an answer, I would maybe not go with your original guess, but double check it.
Matt Stafford.
Incorrect. What I just said was a hint.
Can you repeat?
If you're not sure about your first guess, perhaps you would want to double check it.
Aaron Rodgers.
It is Aaron Rodgers,
discount,
I believe.
Double check.
Sam got it correct first. Oh. I was making eye contact with him. I heard his voice first in my headphones.
I do have a good voice.
His headphones are closer to yours. That's what it is.
I'm sure that's exactly what
like
it was.
A half of.
I don't think either of you should get it because I had to give you a discount double check hint.
It's 0-0.
Okay,
that was terrible.
Fair enough.
You should have gotten that.
This one, a little tricky. You know this name.
Okay.
Who was the Giants' backup quarterback for Eli Manning in the 2011 season? Another 2011 question. We've talked about this name multiple times on the show. I believe he is no longer in the league. A former Fresno State quarterback. I believe. Hold on.
David Carr?
It is David Carr. Correct.
I don't even know who that is, really. But
it's Derek Carr's brother.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He went to Fresno State, right?
That's why I was about to double check, because I don't know if both of them went to Fresno State. I know Derek Carr went to Fresno. I assume his brother also went there. In 2013... Chip Kelly debuted as the head coach for what team?
Eagles.
Correct. Sam got that one. 2-0.
Gosh.
What school, prior to being drafted, did Saquon Barkley play for?
Penn State.
Folky. 2-1. Let me skip through that one.
This is like the cupcake round.
y'all got mad at me. Here's a hard question. When Norv Turner joined the San Diego Chargers in 2007, he became the head coach. Which team had he most recently coached for?
Jets?
Incorrect. It is another AFC West opponent.
Chiefs.
Incorrect.
You get the next one, Folky.
It's a 50-50 shot.
I don't have two options in my head. That's the problem.
Okay.
I know my mind
is
blanking.
Do you have the two options in your mind?
Yeah.
Say one of them.
No.
Then I'll guess the other one.
Okay, go. Raiders?
It is the Raiders.
Oh.
The other team that you would have the choice between.
I'm blanking on the other one.
The Broncos?
Oh, yeah.
No. I was blanking on both of them.
Fair enough. Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan played at what college?
Boston College.
Correct. Do you know what NCAA video game he was on the cover of?
No.
09.
Interesting.
Which team, another David Carr question, chose David Carr first overall in the 2002 NFL draft?
Giants.
Incorrect.
I just want to say the Falcons for some reason.
Incorrect.
Raiders.
Incorrect.
Giants.
You already said the Giants.
David Carr.
Did I really?
You did.
Oh, Jets.
It's also not the Jets.
Mm.
The Lions.
Incorrect. This team has had history of bad picks. Mario Williams comes to mind with this team.
Texans.
Correct. It is the Texans.
The more you know.
What team prior to joining the Vikings did Kirk Cousins play for?
Redskins.
Correct.
Come on, Folky.
I know.
What team is Matt Patricia the head coach of?
What is this? Lions.
Correct.
He has got the pencil.
He does have
the
pencil.
He's bad, man.
He is. Yeah.
He is bad.
Depending on how you define bad. But yes to both. Trying to find. These are all opinionated questions. Who was Steve Young's go-to guy on the 49ers?
Jerry Rice.
Exactly. Exactly. Like that's the level of question I'm dealing with here because y'all were yelling at me. Oh, here's a really good one. This one's going to kind of get y'all. Who was the starting quarterback for the Washington, formerly known as Redskins, now known as football team, at the beginning of the 2011 season?
Alex Smith.
Incorrect.
RG3.
Incorrect. Came before both of those.
Can you tell us what number he was?
Number 8, I believe. Actually, not,
Rex,
but it...
No. Rex Grossman.
It is Rex Grossman.
Oh.
I didn't want to scare you. I didn't want to scare you away from that answer. Started the preseason that year. He started the first game. As well. Matt Nagy coaches which team?
Bears.
Correct. Which team does Frank Wright coach?
Colts.
Correct. More questions loading now. In 2017, this player was named the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Oh. I actually know this one.
Think about the national tragedies that had happened.
Yeah.
In the year 2017.
I don't know why I'm blanking on that.
He plays D-line, right?
I need a name.
J.J. Watt.
It is J.J. Watt.
You just I gave you the answer. Yeah.
Hurricane Harvey.
Yeah, that's right.
2008, who was the head coach of the New York Giants?
Oh, Tom Coughlin.
Correct. Another Giants question. Who was their leading rusher in the year 2004?
Tiki Barber.
Correct.
Gosh.
In 2013, who said if he had a son, he'd think twice about letting them play football?
Oh, what's his name?
AP. I don't know.
I cannot tell you what his name is. You have to tell me.
No, I know. I'm thinking to myself, what's his name? Oh, what's old buddy's name? I know what it
is. If you knew who it was, you wouldn't be struggling with their name.
No, I remember that quote. I just don't remember who
being,
said
like,
it.
Disappointed, but like
he was really good.
He didn't play football. It's not a former football player.
Oh, it's not.
It is Barack Obama.
Dude, that's so weird.
Were you going to
say
Barack
for
Obama?
Some reason, like as a joke, but like,
it was Barack Obama.
Not at all what I was thinking.
What player was the 2007 AP Offensive Rookie of the Year? If you need a team, I can give it to you, but I figured I'd hold off on that. 2007 AP Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Percy Harvin.
Incorrect. I will go ahead and give you the team, though. You're close. It was the Vikings.
Adrian Peterson?
It was Adrian Peterson out of the University of what?
Oklahoma.
Correct.
I feel old. I feel like he came to the league in like 2004 or something, you know?
Yeah.
What school did NFL quarterback Michael Vick attend?
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech is correct. Last question here. Before joining the Denver Broncos in the 2012 season, how many seasons did Peyton Manning play for the Colts?
13. 12.
Both incorrect.
14.
14 is correct. I don't know what the score is, but wasn't close. Sam dominated. Here's one for Folky. Where did Myles Garrett play college ball?
A&M.
Good job. That will be the game, Sam. I believe you won. So credit where credit is due, but you're lucky you weren't going up against me.
Okay. No, this guy.
I host trivia for a reason, boys. I've literally didn't give up a point three straight games in the birthday game. I think we can all agree I'm a genius.
I do have one title against you, though.
That's true. Hold on to your championships because they're very, very scarce. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee. I'll just go ahead and say it. There's no reason to sugarcoat it. There's no reason to beat around the bush. It's legal, and you should take advantage of it. Right now, you can place your first bet on FanDuel risk-free. Get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached. I'm not pulling anyone's leg. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you'll keep the cash, obviously. But if you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. So you can take another shot at the end zone on the house, quite literally. If I would have used my risk-free bet for my lock of the week, it would not have been nearly as embarrassing because I would have gotten my money back. So if you're ever throwing down, if you're ever listening to me when I'm talking about locks of the week, A, just know they're always 100% going to be an underdog, and it's probably going to be a double-digit underdog. So just be ready to throw that risk-free feature down alongside of it so you can't blame me and you'll still get your money back. But FanDuel Sportsbook has much more than just those generous risk-free bets. They've got a simple app. They've got live betting on every game on that simple app. And also on that simple app, they've got bet types such as same-game parlays. And that is where you can combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. Say you think that Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 250 yards or above. Go ahead and take that 250 yards over along with the Chiefs to win, along with Tyreek Hill to have 100 receiving yards. And instead of betting those separately, you can throw them all into one hodgepodge of a bet and get the best odds for your buck. And speaking of your bucks, once you win, FanDuel will get you your cash in those 24 hours. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up using promo code OVERTIME so they know we sent you. It's FanDuel Sportsbook app, and that's promo code OVERTIME, all caps, one word, so they know we sent you. You must be 21 or older. Present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable. Expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for more details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. All right. We prolonged it enough. I think it's time we talk about it. And you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Tennessee loses this past weekend to Auburn. Coming into this game, first off, spread the love event. We talked about it earlier. Probably one of the nicer events. Kind of was able to buy a little bit of the pain back with FanDuel, putting that $50 on, getting as much money off of this game as you could because we knew we weren't going to win. But 17.
Silver lining.
Oh, exactly. Grass is always greener on one side or the other. It just depends on if you like grass. 17-30. Vols lose. Auburn improves to 5-2. I'll say it again. Like I said it last week. Auburn should not be 5-2. They should not be number 23rd in the nation. Shut up, ESPN. They should not be 23rd in the nation. They should be 4-3 at best. They should have at least two more losses with the Ole Miss controversy and the Arkansas controversy. So I will not give credit to Auburn. They Gus Malzahn is still on the hot seat for being a 5-2 team because they should have lost both of those games. But that's neither here nor there. They won this game this weekend. Tennessee tied at halftime. Obviously, we had a 10-point lead, correct? It was 10-0 at one point. I was. This was the nap game. Unfortunately, it was. Yeah. I had been watching football all day, and this game came on at 7 o'clock, and I was just fading in and out of consciousness
the
whole entire game.
Whole slate.
Oh yeah. Especially with, like, when it's a night game and you're kind of looking forward to it. If it was a good season, or if it was a Vandy, or something, like a game that maybe we had a little bit more going into, I would have been able to hype myself up, stay up. But man, it was 7 o'clock. It was guaranteed loss. Like, we started 10-0, and I was like, all right, I might as well fall asleep now, is I guess what my body was thinking. But I passed out, woke up, and it was 30-17 when I blinked. I mean, it was just, I slept through the good parts, but I also slept through the bad parts, so that must have been nice. Obviously, Garantano, 15-23, 156 yards. That one interception happened to be the pick six from Smoke Monday, which, before we even get into the pick six, staring down the receiver the whole 9 yards, because I know that's been talked about ad nauseum and no one really wants to hear about it, Smoke Monday is probably one of the greatest names.
Yeah.
Top five name in the NCAA right now, if not number one, Smoke Monday.
And then is it them or Kentucky that has a guy named Kavosier Smoke?
Kentucky has Kavosier Smoke, which is, like, is a good name with the last name, but Smoke Monday, like, that's just, like, that's the smoke part.
It's like you're ready to just take on the week.
Monday is, exactly. Like, that's how he starts his Mondays. He's like, man, I hate Mondays, but if I'm high, it's not that bad. But so, I mean, Monday is a good last name. Smoke is a fantastic first name. You combine those to make Smoke Monday. Exactly. They same game parlayed them.
Great play by Smoke.
Fantastic parenting. But, I mean, like, it hurt a little less knowing that. Like, if it was just, like, Cody Johnson or somebody who had picked us off, like, I would have been even. That just would make me mad. But Smoke Monday, I was like, okay, at least, like, it was the dopest dude on their team who picked us off. Like, you can celebrate, Mr. Monday. You deserve this one. Bo Nix, he was 17-26, 220 yards. So good performance there. But he only had a touchdown, and he also had an interception. What was the interception? Was it a good play on our defense or a bad play on their offense? This was my nap game this week.
To be honest, I might have been snoozing at that point too. I missed the pick. I'm not sure.
I'll try to find who got it then.
All I know is his touchdown was the most wide open thing I have maybe ever seen.
Oh yeah, it was bad. It was.
Maybe 20 yards between him and the last defender?
Oh, Bryce Thompson got the pick. I remember that. It was in the end zone.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I remember that. That was closer important. To the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
I do remember that. But yeah, and then Harrison Bailey comes in, 7 of 10, 86 yards. Like I said, I was asleep for this, so I don't know how he looked. But from what I heard, it sounded pretty average. Obviously, it wasn't who do we play where he threw six straight checkdowns. Is that Arkansas that he threw six straight checkdowns to?
Yeah.
I know it was one of those teams, but it didn't sound like six straight checkdowns. It sounded like at least he came out and threw the ball around the field a little bit more. But 7 of 10, 86 yards, it's nothing too impressive. But, I mean, was there anything – I know Folky was probably still focused in on that near scare against Indiana, which we'll get into, but was there anything you saw from Harrison Bailey's time on the field that really – told you anything about him, about the quarterback room, about the coaching? Like, was there anything that was really glaringly obvious coming from like, what would you
again,
two words to describe Harrison Bailey's performance, I guess, would be my proper question.
Pretty average.
That's vaguely what I've heard from everybody, it seems.
I feel like whenever he comes in, it's just like, okay, you know, this guy probably has a bright future, but like, I feel like nowadays it's like, dude, you got to come in.
If you don't come in and light it up,
if you're that, like, highly touted coming in, I would expect a little bit more out of him.
Yeah, obviously we're not expecting DJ Ukulele numbers when he threw 300 yards back-to-back games against. I mean, people sleep on Boston College. I know Boston College is a bad football program. They have the top five passing, or their quarterback is top five in passing yards on the season. Like, it's a good football team. It was going to be a close game regardless of who was starting at quarterback. But it's like, it was impressive to see him throw 300 yards. I don't think 7 to 10, 86 yards. I have no idea how many quarters I was over, how many plays or drives I was over, but like, that just seems like a pretty average first quarter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that sounds like a Mac Jones first quarter. And even Mac Jones, obviously, very different weapons. I know, whole 9 yards, but no pun intended. But, I mean, even then, he'll have at least a touchdown or something on that board. I think there'll be points to show for it, and it didn't seem like that was the case coming from Tennessee.
Yeah, he's gotten in a decent amount of games. I feel like I could be wrong about that, maybe 3. And just 0 touchdowns, 2 picks. I mean, it just is discouraging. There's obviously silver linings in there, but stats are stats, and that is discouraging. But
yeah, I'll read.
The season's kind of a wrap.
I'll read his 2020 stat line. Actually, here. Go ahead and guess how many attempts he's had.
I think I looked at it earlier.
You did?
Yeah.
14 to 23.
Yeah.
60.9, close to being nice. Completion percentage. Only 175 yards and two interceptions. Like that's one game stat line is what that sounds like. That reads like a Stenson Bennett stat line against Florida. Mm-hmm. Like that is it. I mean,
let's talk about what you were saying at the break. Just that JG is not the best. I mean, it's not the best guy that you're ever going to have, but, like, he might be our best guy we have.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I had been saying it forever, and I guess, obviously, it's coach speak. You kind of have to speak in statement of facts, but when people were getting worked up about Jeremy Pruitt coming out and just saying Jarrett Garantano is the quarterback who gives us the best opportunity to win. I know no one liked hearing that. I didn't like hearing it. And I still didn't want to see Garantano out on the field however many times that Jeremy Pruitt said that. But at the same time, it was a statement of fact, coach speak type deal, where that's probably the true statement. Maybe it's not the person who's going to help us build for the future. Maybe he's not the person who's going to go out there and be able to light it up. But he will cost us games, but at the same time, he probably is the best quarterback to give us an opportunity to win. It just hasn't translated as it should and as it has over the past few seasons. Obviously, you can change that by making a quarterback change and hopefully getting someone in the system and giving him playing reps, giving him something more than just practice. Obviously, didn't have a camp. I mean, there's a lot of variables, but when you just narrow it down to get rid of the semantics, get rid of the variables, I do think that was a true statement, which then goes into that could be more indicting on our coaching staff, which is even a worse look. Because if Jarrett Garantano, I'd get JP and JG confused because they're both just connected at the hip in terms of why this season sucks. But it's like if Garantano is the number one option, if he is the guy who really does give us the truest opportunity to win, then we got to be better at spotting talent, at getting guys here, at developing guys, at doing something. Because we're just doing something wrong. I don't know what we're doing wrong. I don't know if it's the quarterback coach. I don't know if it's the offensive line. I don't know what is going on, but there's something being done wrong when Kasim Hill is the only transfer we look at, and we let him walk on and then walk away, and we keep the quarterbacks who we have, who obviously are not translating to success. That's enough on that. Hit a quick break. Come back. Talk about a couple more college football games. Talk a little bit about the NFL. Birthdays after that. You know how the schedule of the show goes if you're a big fan. If you're not, why are you not a big fan? This is Overtime. We'll be right back.
Four Indiana Hoosiers right around him against just him. Yeah, he's good, but he didn't end up getting it.
Podcast listeners, if you're just now tuning in, there was technical difficulties. I apologize for the cold opening, but welcome in.
No, I apologize.
Thank you, sir, for taking full responsibility for your mistakes. But technical difficulties fixed. The computer was smarter than both me and Sam. Continue. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to not give a complete cold opening to the podcast listeners. Just come in halfway through with Folky's comments about Ohio State and him getting fired up. It's a really awkward thing to come into. It's like walking in and like someone singing in the mirror.
Yeah, oh gosh. Or
like the most awkward situations. Yeah, oh, okay.
Well, okay, don't you think there should be like a stat for like a throw that's just completely that we're going
completely somewhere else, but yes, there should be a stat like interception, and then it should be with fault or without fault, or bad read or good read, or like there should be a fluke. There should be a fluke play, like a fluke play stat where it's like
dumb.
Like if a fumble gets credited to a quarterback, or like they like get sack yards, like they say Terry Wilson, he's a running guy. His rush numbers are what really controls his statistics, and I don't think he's going to be drafted to the next level. But if he was competing to be drafted to the next level, you would want as many rushing yards on your count as possible. So say a snap goes flying way over his head, like in the Georgia-Tennessee game, where we were able to capitalize on that, fall on it for an end zone, or fall on it in the end zone for a touchdown. Say a snap gets thrown over his head. It's a 15-yard loss. He jumps on the ball. He's credited with those lost yards. Like that should be fluke play stat.
Well, especially if he just goes way over his head.
Exactly.
Like, can we use our heads, statisticians? Like, exactly. That's not
exactly.
His fault.
Come on, nerds. Like, let's think logically here.
All they can see is just
numbers.
Ones
it's just
and zeros.
They're watching football, but it's just like
yeah,
just code growing exactly. across screens. I feel like that's like what code looks like to me is what football and sports look like to
that's
nerds or
yeah.
coders or whatever you mean. Like, mm-hmm. It all just jumbles together and it's green. But continue, Folky. Chris Olave trying to get that catch. Could not come up with it.
And Justin Fields should not have even put him in that situation.
It was a terrible decision. It was a terrible decision. I thought he was throwing it away.
He should have.
But he just I really thought he was throwing it away at like first glance watching the play. It was like, okay, he's throwing it away, didn't have the arm strength. And then when like you kind of watched the replay, it was just a terrible decision. It looked like he was going mm-hmm. to Chris Olave on a comeback, and there was just no hope in sight.
And then he did it again yeah. later on in the game. And I'm not worried about that going on. Ryan Day's going to fix that. He's a smart guy.
I also think that, I mean, an undefeated number 9 Indiana team, you're kind of in a close game with them. They're playing a lot better than they probably were expecting to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know the line was 20-something. Like, you're coming in there, and they're giving you all you can handle. He was being hit, it seemed like, every time he dropped back, yeah. or at least being flushed out of the pocket and forcing him to make a play. Because normally when Ohio State plays, and I don't mean any disrespect to Ohio State, yeah. but they're just going out there and playing football. Like, they're just going out there and they're just better than everybody. It seemed like on Saturday, Indiana was really making them make the plays. Indiana was mm-hmm. putting the ball in their court and saying, okay, if you're better than us, beat us. And obviously, they were able to get the dub 42-35, but it really seemed, obviously, some garbage time points made up for it and made it a one-score game there at the end. Obviously, Penix throwing for 491 yards, close to 505 touchdowns, yeah. which is even more of an indictment that we can't get talent. Trevor Lawrence snuck out of here. Sam Howell snuck out of here. Michael Penix was not able to. Tennessee was not able to land him. But it just seemed like Indiana was like making Ohio State make these plays instead of letting them just be better than them or kind of sitting down and trying to beat Ohio State. It seemed like they really forced the issue, if you will.
Yes, and Michael Penix did end up having 491 passing yards. Mm-hmm. However, Indiana's offense ended up only having 490 yards.
Just no rushing at all?
Negative rushing.
Yeah. It's crazy to think. Like, if they win that ball game, which I didn't think they were going to, like I didn't think they had a shot on either of those final two drives, which really sucks when you're watching a game and you just like can kind of feel that it's not going to happen. Like, you want to believe in the miracle, but you know that the miracle is not going to happen. But it was like they went out there, and I knew it was going to happen at the end of these drives, but I was still holding out hope. But if they won that ball game with negative 20-something rushing yards, like that would probably have been the most insane stat of the season.
Yeah.
And it would have thrown a wrench in the Big Ten, which there was a wrench thrown in the Big Ten this weekend with the number 19 Northwestern Wildcats?
Yes.
Wildcats. The Northwestern journalist getting the upset 17-7 over the Badgers,
which was my pick, and Tucker made fun of me for it.
I said Wisconsin to win, but I said Northwestern against the 7.5. So I was on your side as well. But to be fair, at the beginning of the season, when Northwestern was 3-0, before this past week, every single time we picked a Northwestern game or even mentioned a Northwestern game, you just said, psh, "It's Northwestern." They go in.
They did.
Evanston obviously is a tough place to play. Mm-hmm. They get the win. Does this, obviously, we're looking down into the future now.
Yep.
Does this make you nervous if you do have to end up facing, saying that you are undefeated? Because obviously, with the test that Indiana gave you, could be a bit of a question mark. Not saying that they're going to drop a game, but like I don't want to assume they go undefeated. Because if they lose, it would look bad on my part. But let's say Ohio State's undefeated, and let's say that Northwestern is somehow able to keep their undefeated season alive. Are you worried about this Northwestern team having to face them in a Big Ten championship? And also, would you take an undefeated Northwestern over? I mean, you would have to. But
yeah, if they won the Big Ten, you'd have to.
You'd have to take them into the playoff. Yeah. But would you be worried if that was the case? Two undefeateds, you having to play. Obviously, it wouldn't be in Evanston, mm-hmm. so that's not the big worry, but still.
It depends on how we play. Well, it depends on Justin Fields' decision making
and the corrections that yeah. you see from practices these past weeks. Okay,
just this week's decision making from Justin Fields, I'm not confident going into a Big Ten championship. Definitely not confident going into the playoffs.
It's very fair.
But if we can correct these, and they're not even big issues, just take the sack or throw it away.
Yeah, I mean,
all he has to do is just not heave it into the middle.
It just seemed like classic pressure mistakes. So, yeah. And you kind of have to correct those and find out what type of player you are. I mean, mm-hmm. Madden comes to mind when you have the type of player who's either – it's the throw ball away, and you either are aggressive with the throw away the ball or you eat the sacks. And you just kind of have to choose which type of quarterback you are. Mm-hmm. My opinion, Justin Fields will throw the ball away. He's going to extend the play, get outside mm-hmm. the pocket, make the most out of nothing. And if he can't make anything, just get nothing. But it did not seem the case this past weekend. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame didn't play this week. Clemson obviously didn't play. No good ACC school played this week, so there was really nothing to talk about from there other than I mean, the best team who played in the ACC this week was Liberty. Like Liberty was That's the best, crazy. And They're they ended the up ACC? Losing by one. No, but playing a game in the ACC this week. Because I mean, it was Abilene Christian, Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, NC State, Louisville, Syracuse, and Virginia that all played this weekend. Georgia Tech, Miami got postponed. Clemson, Florida State got postponed, and Wake Forest, Duke was canceled. Notre Dame was on a bye. Hmm. Moving from the NCAA, though, moving into the NFL. Before we get into a recap of this past weekend, just want to go ahead and get a Monday Night Football prediction from everybody. Obviously, it's tonight. It's going to be the Rams going and traveling to Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay, Florida. Right now, 4.5 favorites are the Buccaneers, 6-3 Rams versus the 7-3 Buccaneers. Obviously, with the Thursday Night Football game that happened, with the implications that I had making Seattle 7-3, moving them into first place, you have a team that can go 7-3 and tie that up and will still own the tiebreaker. Yes, the Rams have beat them third. I want to say 23-16. Yeah, right before the Cardinals game. Okay. Just named like five different teams. Which was not the team I was trying to name. But Rams can either tie with the Cardinals at 6-4. Or they can take the lead, or at least, they would take the lead because they have the tiebreaker in the NFC West with a win tonight. Obviously, Saints 7-2, they're first place in the NFC South because they own the tiebreakers against the Buccaneers as well. But the Buccaneers can solidify them at number two in the NFC South and really put their place in the playoffs if they win this ball game tonight, because I think it's an easier schedule down the stretch. So we're getting into the weeks of the season where everything has an implication in both college football and in the NFL. Tonight, big game, Buccaneers, Rams. Sam, who you got?
You know what? I'm going with the Rams.
Really? Any particular reason why, or just a gut feeling?
I just feel like every you got time that I've visceral watched feeling. Brady at night, he's getting blown out, and the Rams D I think is the best in the NFL right now, so
it's definitely up there. I mean, Miami was talked about it being the top defense. Obviously, bad weekend for them. Got me -1 points on fantasy after I pick them up off a waiver wire thinking, because they've been putting up like 20 points as a defense, which is insane.
I just saw some stat that said that the Rams were number one in a couple categories. I don't know.
Name brand players in mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey, yeah. Aaron Donald didn't just give you two obvious options, but like right. there's it's a very good defense. But at the same time, yeah. I mean, I don't hate the pick. You're right. This game being played at night does make it more of a question. Weird. Like I want to say the Buccaneers. I do think like the Buccaneers, their defense has come into their own right. Ronald Jones, as much as he pisses off Bruce Arians, he has been playing pretty well in his own right. They've been obviously Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. He's been getting his numbers, not as much as we expected, or not to the fireworks that we expected. Mm. I think that changes tonight. Antonio Brown has his breakout game. Buccaneers win this one easy. I think the lights are a little too big for the Rams. I think Seattle is going to end up being the team out of the NFC West. I think it's going to be a battle for a wild card between the Cardinals and the Rams. Give me the Buccaneers tonight.
Okay.
Folky.
Tampa Bay is 4.5-point favorite. Over-under is set at 48. I am hammering the under in this game.
That's your pick? I like that pick. I do like the under.
That's not all of my pick.
Oh, you're going to give a pick? Okay, my bad.
That's my first sentence.
My apologies.
Forgiven.
Stupid.
These are two of the top...
You idiot.
I'd say two of the top five defenses that are in the NFL
now. Yeah.
Tom Brady, he's good. He has a lot of Super Bowl wins, whatever. Who cares? I don't think he's very good anymore. can we all the Rams defense.
Can we all take a second? And at the beginning of the season, when we got in a big screaming match, specifically me and Tucker, about Tom Brady after that Monday night or Sunday night football performance where he holds up the fours, I would just like to say yes, that it was a bad. Like, I kind of conceded that argument that Tom Brady is not Tom Brady, but I would still argue my points of what I argued. Mm-hmm. But I mentioned how good this Saints defense was going to be, and I mentioned how good the Saints team is, and I got shot down and I got yelled at saying that that wasn't the case. The Saints, in my opinion, have one of the better defenses, but being at 7-2 in the NFC South, just rolling through different people being injured, obviously having the controversy with Michael Thomas not being able to play the number one wide receiver, now injury to quarterback, having to kind of roll through. Their defense has stayed consistently fantastic, being 7-2, winning 7 straight, I believe. I mean, like, I got a lot of flack for that, so I would just like to go ahead and put my foot down that I was right about the Saints.
Okay.
If you can toot your horn about being right about Tom Brady, I had to toot my horn about being right about the Saints.
Okay.
Your pick, the Rams?
It's fair. No, my pick is not the Rams. I'm going to say that both quarterback throws at least one interception tonight.
I can see it.
It is going to be under 48 total points scored. But I still think that the Buccaneers are going to cover.
Fair enough. Don't hate it. Obviously, games this past weekend. We're celebrating Victory Monday. Because what an overtime thriller it was. Derrick Henry and the boys running away with it, 30-24. They beat the Baltimore Ravens. Now, obviously, we can talk about a lot about this game, but the main thing I want to chew on from this game is I tweeted it out. It didn't get any likes or interaction, I don't think. And that's not what I'm worried about. I think my tweet was still good, though. Tweeted out before this game, the loser of this game, the Ravens versus the Titans, I did not think was going to make the playoffs. Luckily, Titans win, which gives me a little bit more confidence. But I really do believe that. I think the Ravens now, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think, and I know that I know it's not really a hot take because they do put themselves in a bad position. But in my opinion, I don't think they make the playoffs. Where do you see that fitting in?
Well, it's just weird in a year where they add a playoff spot that it gets harder than it's ever been, it feels
to
get into the AFC playoff.
There was, what, at least 5, 6, and 3 teams coming into Week 11? I can't remember the exact number, but it was at least 5 or 6.
Yeah, and it's just crazy because, I mean, they might end up third in the division.
Right now they're sitting third in the division.
They were 14-2 last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Colin Cowherd picked him 16-0.
Yeah, I know. Just ridiculous.
That guy.
But
to be fair, I would just like to say I said it when we were in the studio, and I don't mean to be folky when I say this. The Browns still have plenty of the seasons to Browns it up. Like, they easily can be 7-3, end the season at 7-9, and miss the playoffs. Like, and I'm looking at their schedule. They have three very tough games. You have to play the Ravens again. You have to play the Steelers again, and you have to play the Titans. And then you also factor in the Browns have, I believe it was the Giants, the Jets, and the Jags left on their schedule, which should all be W's, but with the NFC East coming down, you don't know how the Giants are going to play. The Jets are going to get at least one win this season. I don't think they're going to go 0-16. And the Jags, with Gardner Minshew, were frisky. I don't know how to think about them in the future, but like, the Browns still have room to drop some games and give them a chance.
Really good win yet. Not that you'll haven't, but like, just have you?
Define a really good win.
Like,
they have beaten the teams they deserve.
Like a solid
they should beat
win against a good team.
When the Cowboys,
Colts
still had
32-23
was a good win. Yeah. The Cowboys when they still had Dak. Obviously, the Cowboys defense. We know about the Cowboys defense, but able to put up 49 against the Cowboys.
Yeah,
that was a good win. Other than that, not really. I mean,
I like the Browns. They just are. They're like nothing I've ever seen, almost.
Yeah, when you look at the Browns, a 38-6 loss against the Ravens and a 38-7 loss against the Steelers and a 16-6 loss against the Raiders are their three losses. All, I would argue, not good losses. I mean, I know the Raiders are a team where that's kind of a pick'em game, but you shouldn't lose by double digits to a Raiders team. Obviously, weather, it was an ugly game. There's a lot of factors. I didn't watch the game, so I'm not going to pretend like I know a lot about that. But still, when you look at that schedule, at least this year, you should circle that as a W. But they've beaten the teams they should beat, just not very convincingly. The Colts was a convincing win, the 9-point win. The Cowboys was a convincing win, but only beating the Bengals by 5 and then only beating them by 3, only beating the Texans 10-7. Again, that was a weather game. And then the Eagles only beating them by 5 and, I mean, being gifted 7 points by one of the worst pick sixes I've ever seen in my life thrown by Carson Wentz. Like, there is still some room. Again, not to be mean, but it is. I mean, that was the first time the Browns have beaten the Eagles in forever. Like, there is still room for the Browns to pull a classic Browns move. But that being said, there is still plenty of time for the Titans to tighten this up as well. Drop another game to the Colts, drop a couple more games, and put themselves out of contention because they're not the number one in the AFC South. Like, there is still so many variables.
Every game basically feels like it's do or die.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? You know who the leading receiver for the Titans is?
Corey
Davis.
Really?
And he's played the same amount of games as AJ Brown.
I drafted
him.
Isn't
that crazy?
He's on my fantasy team, man. 549 yards, 3 touchdowns off 39 receptions. Mm-hmm. Remaining schedule for the Titans is Colts, Browns, Jags, Lions, Packers, Texans. So another schedule kind of split into 3 very, very challenging games that are like, if you win those, you kind of show who you are. But if you lose those, it's not the biggest of a deal. And then 3... should be kind of must-win games just because if you drop those, it's even worse for you. But Colts is a good game. Browns is going to be a challenging game and a good game. Jags, you should win. Lions, you should win. Packers, good struggle game. And come that week, I'll talk more about it, but I really think the Titans' formula is going to dominate the Packers. That game I love already. And then the Texans, another should-be-win. Other scores from around the league, just to hit on before we hit a quick break, you have the Pats fall to the Texans. Texans move to 3-7, but the Pats kind of fall out of playoff contention or any hope of that. Obviously, we talked about Joe Burrow going down. He just tore everything in his knee, MCL, ACL, some structural damage. So they're officially done talking about for even any friskiness or any upsets or anything. Saints get the win. They go marching on. They're 8-2 now, 24-9. Steelers stay perfect, 27-3 over the Jaguars. The Dolphins drop their first game after a 5-game win streak. They lose 20-13 to the Broncos. That makes them have to win their hard games. They have to win every single game for my prediction to come true about them winning the AFC South or AFC East. Still close calls, though, because the Bills are only 7-2. They were off this week, though. Colts able to get the win over the Packers. Makes both teams end up with their records at 7-3. Obviously, the Colts improved to 7-3. Packers drop from 7-2 to 7-3. Colts, though, in overtime get the win 34-31. Cowboys beat the Vikings, kind of take away from any hope for a Vikings run to the playoff, 31-28. And then the Chiefs last night get the win in a near scare game against the Raiders. Raiders 6-4, still in the wild card hunt, but Chiefs cement their ability to get a playoff spot, kind of canceling out the tiebreaker. Everything's good. Just want to mention one thing about that last play. Patrick Mahomes' threat to run the ball is what won them that game, because that safety coming up left Travis Kelce wide open. Beautifully done. It was a good. I was looking for
underrated wheels in the NFL.
Yeah, him and Daniel Jones, which is a weird time. Yeah. It's a weird sentence when you have to say Pat Mahomes and Daniel Jones in the same sentence. But yeah, there's that. That's the scores from around the league. We'll play birthdays next. It's me and Sam. Folky's hosting it. We'll be right back.
Time to play the game.
Welcome back in overtime, Fandern Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's time for the game. The game's brought to you by Smarter Searches. Smarter Searches is an award-winning digital marketing agency. They're what I use to cheat in the birthday games. Haha, just kidding. I do cheat, but Smarter Searches is locally owned and operated. They're Knoxville's top full-service digital marketing agency. Appearing on Google is essential in the success for your business, and Smarter Searches offers insight, strategy, and creativity to reach your goals, no matter the industry. Smarter Searches has you covered for all your SEO, web design, social media management, and PPC needs. Plus, there's no outsourcing. Everything is done in-house. They help your business transition to a more online-focused strategy, and obviously, in a world that is close to 99.9% virtual. That was a little hand sanitizer joke for you guys out there who picked up on that. 99.9.
Oh,
pretty yeah. good. Pretty good.
I laughed.
You you got to transition to a more virtual business function. That's the only way your business will succeed. So help Smarter Searches help you. Let's get into the birthday game.
All right. First, I would like to say happy birthday to everyone whose birthday is today that we do not get to.
Of course.
Happy Screw birthday. You. If you're not famous enough to be on famousbirthdays.com and your birthday's today, you don't matter to us.
Or as Tucker said, unless you're a bad person, then we do not condone that. Not a happy birthday to those. The first birthday, are you both ready?
I am ready.
Okay.
Sir? E.
COVID. Come on, guys. Really?
You know what?
You just shook hands.
I have already had it.
Yeah, same.
Might as well spit our hands into it.
Okay. He is 30 years old. He is 6'7". He is a professional athlete. 6'7".
Jamal Murray.
No, he doesn't play basketball. He plays football. Played. He is former American football player. He is 6'7".
I know why you're
Calvin interested. Johnson.
He was drafted.
He's a tight end.
In the second round of the 2012 NFL draft.
Is it Demaryius Thomas?
It is not.
He's probably 6'4".
I'm just thinking of like Antonio Gates?
Nope.
Former basketball players. Jimmy Graham?
Nope.
Julius Thomas?
Nope. He is not a tight end.
Oh. Calais Campbell?
Nope. He went to school at Arizona State University. Where you remember him being
Brock Osweiler?
It is Brock Osweiler.
6'7". I know.
Really
that
tall.
That he is.
Really, really tall.
He's out of the league now?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Like, maybe, 4 years ago he was the highest paid player?
Though, yeah. He got that bag from the Texans and then just straight up dipped.
Yeah. What a beast.
The only clip I remember him from is when, Peyton wouldn't let him play. Like, he was going to grab his helmet all excited, and Peyton just sprinted back on the field for the final drive. Peyton was not giving up garbage time reps when he was in the garbage time of his career.
That's awesome.
1-0. Will leading. The second birthday. He is 53 years old. He's an American actor. You know him most from the Marvel movies. Well, you may not know him most from, but according to this, most people know him most from the Marvel movies. 53 years old. That has his last name in it, so I'm not going to say that.
Robert Downey Jr.?
It is not. He is green.
I couldn't.
Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, I did not even know his name.
Yeah. He's actually.
Is that the guy from
Hulk?
He's the Hulk.
I know, but Now You See Me?
Yes. Okay, Spotlight, if you've seen that. Very good movie.
Yep. He's a good actor.
I didn't know you guys had seen all those.
Yeah.
I would have said those.
Spotlight's.
I was reading them.
Top 10 movie, in my opinion. Fantastic movie.
Okay. Spotlight. The next birthday.
It's on Netflix.
This is a must win right here.
This is.
This decides the series.
I need you, Sam.
I know, man. I'm trying.
You'll get this one. She is 36 years old.
Kate from Lost.
What?
Kate from Lost.
What did you say?
Lindsay Vonn.
Wrong.
That would have been just awesome, though.
I did not know she was 36, actually.
Older or younger?
I thought she was way younger.
Scarlett Johansson.
It is Scarlett Johansson.
Wow.
Let's go!
What a pull.
That's so random. I saw a thing today that might have had to do
with
her.
It probably was because it was her birthday.
Maybe.
It was probably.
I don't think so, though. Because it was weird. I'll tell you what. Yeah, go.
Okay.
It's weird.
I look forward to hearing that story later. The next birthday.
It's not really a story.
Got the must win.
She is 62 years old. She is an actress. You know her from... She was the... It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I apologize if this is wrong, but I believe she was the mother in Freaky Friday.
Kathy Lee.
No. The 2003 version of Freaky Friday, by the way. Just in case there was a new one.
I know exactly what we're talking about. I don't know her name.
Redhead.
Yeah.
Nope.
Shorter hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Not red.
Rocked the guitar in the last scene.
Yeah.
Yes. Did she have red hair then?
Yeah. Well, she like...
It was dyed red hair, but it was red hair.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, it was
red. She had the same haircut as Folky, actually.
Who wore it best?
She did.
Oh, that's okay. JLC.
Jamie Lee Curtis. It wasn't Kathy. I was trying. Kathy Lee was my attempt at Jamie Lee, but I couldn't think of the Curtis. But
I know an elderly woman named Kathy Lee. Yeah.
Okay.
She went viral recently for looking really good in a photo.
Good for her.
Shout out. Some more. We're gonna go through these pretty quick. The next birthday. He is 24 years old. He's an American football wide receiver. He currently plays in the NFL in the AFC
Stephon
North.
Diggs. Oh. Allen Robinson.
It is not. He played college at USC.
Yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yes. It is Juju Smith-Schuster.
It's hard to say with a stuffy nose.
Yeah.
The next player. He is 29 years old. He is an NFL running back. He played college at North Carolina and was drafted second round of the 2013 NFL draft. Yes. He's 29, drafted second round of the 2013 NFL draft. He played college at North Carolina. He currently still plays running back at the team to where he was drafted in 2013, although he has not always been the starter. He currently, right now, is the starter, but he started out the season not the starter.
Naheem Hines?
No. The first string got injured, so now he's the starter.
Antonio Gibson?
No.
I'm blanking.
You're blanking. Really, Will. You're blanking on his name.
Can you tell us what division he's in? Or...
Why are you yelling at me?
Something just clicked.
Oh, is it Giovanni Bernard?
Yeah, the guy on your fantasy team.
Yeah. That's why it just clicked, yeah.
Yeah, you've been talking about Giovanni Bernard for the past week being on your fantasy team.
I get him and what's-his-face, Green Ellis or something like that, who played at LSU at the same time, confused.
What, Ben Jarvis?
Yeah, Ben Jarvis and Giovanni Bernard are too close.
They were both Bengals, I didn't know that.
Exactly.
We have time for one more quick one as we are going out.
We have barely any time.
We do have barely any time. He is a World Series champion.
Not going to get this.
He's 36 years old. He is a third baseman.
Joey Votto?
Nope, he plays in the National
League. It was a joke. I know he didn't win a World Series.
He plays what?
Third base.
He plays
National
third base
League.
In the National League. He just won the World Series. He has red hair. It's long.
Justin Turner.
Sam still
beat
wins.
You. Josh Turner,
the
country music singer.
The last question's always worth the move.
We'll be right. Well, run it up after us. We'll be back tomorrow. See you guys.
Hey, folks. James.